Hello there, friend. Welcome back to the Cash Confidence Stylist podcast. So before we get into this episode, I got a question for you. How often do you ask yourself, where the hell is my money going? Okay, look, a lot of us, that runs in a constant loop in our mind. And it's time to take your first step towards financial empowerment. So I wanted to give you a free resource that is going to help you do just that. I want to give you Assess Your Situation, which is the first module in my course, as well as your guide to figuring out where the fuck your money is actually going. Sorry if you have kids in the car. So this is going to be a free guide that I've created to help you break the loops, providing you with tools to assess your current financial situation. You don't even have to break out the calculator, and to help you gain awareness about what you actually need to start making those money moves where it truly matters. So go ahead and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the show notes and snag it. The link is down there, and enjoy this episode. Let me know how assessing your situation goes. Thanks, friends. Welcome to the Cash Confidence Stylist Podcast. Here, we dive into topics that reach far beyond the salon. I'm your host, Misty Jane. I'm a life and money coach for stylists who are obsessed with personal growth. I help you enhance your mindset around money, build a business that lights you up, and create a life of peace. Me and my guests are on a mission to normalize the wealthy stylist while creating a safe space to be perfectly imperfect. Want to join me? Then you're in the right place. Hey friends, welcome back to the Cash Confidence Stylist Podcast. All right, today I'm chatting with my friend, Rebecca Taylor. I knew this would be a good conversation. We were going to talk about one thing. I immediately realized that wasn't the vibe today. And we started chatting basically about how your habits can create your reality. We get real vulnerable about a little bit behind our stories and how we decided to show up for ourselves and change our reality, especially considering that I think Rebecca and I are pretty similar. So I think it's safe to say that we're both pretty hard-headed individuals, and we like to do things the way that we like to do them. And a lot of times that can be a struggle when you want something different or people are telling you, hey, you can be different. And I'm like, or she's like, no, I do what I want. So this conversation is so good and so important. And I just think everyone needs to find the people in their lives that they can have conversations like this with. So if you do not have that, or if you are not around them right now, I hope that this podcast episode scratches that itch for you, or maybe we talk about something that you just really, really needed to hear. If you listen and it resonates with you, please share it on Instagram. Tag me at _MistyJane_ the Cash Confidence Stylist, as well as Rebecca Taylor Hare. It's an important one, and I hope that it sparks more conversations just like this. Enjoy. Rebecca motherfucking Taylor. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing so good. You caught me off guard because we were just chit-chatting for like 20 minutes and then you're like, Rebecca fucking Taylor. I'm like, oh, you're putting your game face on.
I feel like I have like a podcast voice, but only like the first like 20 seconds.
Love it. Is the music like dun 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 Rebecca fucking Taylor, or is
no,
it?
No, but I should do that actually. If I can figure out how to do that, then because I do all the editing still.
You could just take the sound clip of what I just did and like loop it funny. Let me do it again for you. Dun dun dun. Okay.
Oh, I can't. All right, don't make me laugh the whole time. My cheeks will hurt. Okay. So first of all, I'm super excited to chat with you because, you and I have crossed paths numerous times, but we haven't like fully connected. And I'm one of those people that like, I mean, we haven't had like an hour long conversation yet.
Okay. That's true. We were,
you know what I mean?
The hall, like almost roommates, but we were across the hall. And when you just said we didn't right. connect, like I'm gutted. Like,
No. Like I want to connect with you further. I want you to be like, Misty is my friend, not just like this girl that I stayed next to and we talked about curly hair.
So, you know, just so we're airing it out, I do consider you a friend, but like, let's take it to the next level. We send memes and shit and we, you know, DM, but yeah, I feel you and let's go there.
And I'm one of those people that I'm like, I want to be your friend. Let's do it publicly on my podcast.
I'm into it. I'm into it.
So before we get started, because I kind of have an idea of what I wanted to start this chat with, but before we get started, tell the people, who are you and what do you do?
Well, according to Misty, I'm Rebecca fucking Taylor. My middle name's Jean, not fucking. So I've been in the industry. I'm going to keep it like industry centric for a second. And then I'm going to like switch a quick gear, but I've been in the industry for 20 years this year. I've been a color specialist. I've been an educator 18 of those 20 years. So almost fresh out of school. I began my journey in education. I'm a coach, a mentor, still an educator 18 years later. I'm very passionate about our industry. And then where I'm going to switch gears is that my whole identity was my work. So when you're like, who are you and what do you do? I would have stopped there. I would have been like, this is what I do because I'm talking to another hairdresser. And so that, da, da, da. And now I feel like I'm going to expand on it a little bit more. And I'm just really, really into wellness and caring for myself and caring for the people in my circle. And I love adventure. I love nature. I've been on this new journey with just like physical health too. So quit all the naughty stuff I've been doing for years. I'm sober. I quit vaping 6 months ago. I've been working on my fitness, like Fergie, you know, I got multifaceted. I'm multifaceted.
Okay. I have already decided I don't want to talk about what I originally thought that we were going to talk
about. Oh, shit. I was already prepared.
Well, no, I love what you just said about that you would have stopped at your business. Uh-huh. Because that's something that anytime somebody starts to get into like the growth mindset, like internally, that's always a conversation that starts to happen, right? Like I know for me in 2020, when my business got taken away because of COVID, I really felt really fucking down, like really down. And I realized how much like being a hairstylist was in my mind, my identity. And in actuality, it is absolutely not my identity. And I think sometimes when you ask somebody, who are you? Like immediately, I'm a mother. It's all the outside things. But when all of that gets taken away, who are you really? When was that shift for you? Like,
you're telling my story. You're telling my story. My breakdown, but then turned into a catalyst, was being locked down. Because my whole, like I said, and you said it too, my whole identity was what I did for work. It gave me my confidence. It gave me my entire sense of self-worth. It was like the thing that I was like most clinging to once I started it, like, because I was very successful. I threw my whole life into it, everything into it. And then when I found out, I mean, my anxiety was increasing over COVID times. And even before that, to be honest with you, I was beginning to bite off more than I could chew, overextending myself, saying yes to everything, kind of chasing the dollar, chasing the accolades, the follower, you know, just, I wasn't outwardly a shithead, but inside I'm like, ooh, you know, dopamine hits. I was overextended, and come to find out, I was actually quite the introvert. So I was putting myself in all these extroverted situations. I was just telling somebody this via DM the other day, because they were talking about increasing social anxiety. I'm like, I feel that. So then I had gotten to the point of having extreme anxiety. Then COVID happened. I'm like, oh my God, you're taking away the government, whatever. Cause I lived in West Hollywood. My salon I just opened was on Santa Monica Boulevard. We were closed for 7 months. I'm like, you're taking away my business, my livelihood, and every internal sense of worth that I've built for myself. So when all that was taken away, oh, total breakdown. I went off the rails with anxiety meds, ended up in treatment because I was like really physically addicted to them. And then that's a slippery slope, by the way. You're like, oh, I got anxiety, I'm going to whatever. And I'm like, oh no, I can't stop taking this. And now I'm in a rehab. How the fuck did that happen? Mm-hmm. But I also say catalyst, because there were dark days, but what it caused me to do is be like, I'm not, you, I don't know. I've got three Frenchies. You might be able to hear them little shits in the background. But what it caused me to do is take this really long, hard look at like what actually made me, and sobriety helped too, because there was no buffer. There was no numbing. There was no nothing. And it was the best thing that ever happened. You know, I don't want to say COVID was the best thing that ever happened, because a lot of people had a real shitty raw deal, and I don't want to even like minimize that. But like for me, that was the catalyst to be like, I'm more than what I do. and it was taken away. So what am I without it? And then I really had to start from scratch. I feel like I was a teenage girl, like mentally and emotionally again. I'm like, oh my God. But now I feel like I've come home to myself, which I don't even know if I ever was there. Maybe as a kid, you know, but then shit starts happening and then you get further away from your true self. But I'm just like living the dream now. And I don't mean money. I don't mean the places I get to go. I don't mean none of that shit. I mean, like, I just day to day am really happy with who I am as a person, which I'm like, how the hell did that happen? That's cool.
I love that. I mean, I think that the darkness is necessary sometimes, you know, and I think so many of us avoid it and we find these like unhealthy coping mechanisms, you know, to avoid it. But I went to this like woman's circle here locally where I live in Virginia. And the first one was all about like how women actually need to go in the deep, dark depths of our emotions and like how we actually need other women to like help us, you know, navigate through it. But I think a lot of times, and you know, let me know if you agree with this, is like we just don't want to feel it, right? Like, and we think we're not supposed to feel it. We think that happiness is the goal and we're supposed to just like be happy all the time and be positive all the time, and you know, and everything's just supposed to work out, and if not, we're doing something wrong. But it's just not true. I know for me, any dark space I've ever been in, even to this day, because I still have them. I mean, I was in a dark space on Monday. Like, it always puts me in an even better spot when I like navigate through it rather than just go like, you know, fuck this, nothing's working, burn it all to the ground. Let me, you know, get shit faced and not think about it. What was the thing for you though? Let me word this different. What made you not just go, fuck all this? Like, there's a lesson in this darkness.
Because it got really grim. Because like I said, you take a medication like a benzo and try to stop, like you could die. I'm not even kidding. Like, it went from a prescribed medication to where my tolerance was so high that when I was like, uh-oh, like the first moment of self-realization, I'm like, I don't want to take this medicine anymore. I feel like a shell of myself. I feel like I can't function. I feel sloppy. I'm not remembering stuff. So when I finally was like out of denial, then I'm like, okay, let me try to not take this anymore. I had a seizure in my closet. I'm like, oh my God, something that was like prescribed turned into a full addiction.
Wow.
And then I'm keeping this from like my partner. I mean, Chris, we've been together for 8 years. We lived in a tiny two-bedroom apartment in West Hollywood. He saw what I did and how I stayed up late. And then when I like conked out, I'm just like that medication is no joke. I did not know how much of a no joke medication that was. So it got really grim. And I'm not being dramatic when I say life and death kind of situation, because knowing what I know now, if I would have just tried to stop that cold turkey, like you truly yep. can croak. And I'm like, holy shit. So he's not the type to, how should I put this without making him or me sound bad? In the past, and it's gotten so much better, I was very controlling. I'm like, nobody better tell me shit about me. I'm in control of my life. I've always had to be in control of my life. Like, where do you get off? And I mean, this goes for any family member, my partner, my best friend. I'm like, I don't do well with people coming at me. Didn't do well with people coming at me. So he voiced like concern finally. And he was like, man, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't think it's healthy. And then like in hindsight, I think they probably talked about this, but my best friend, Jessica, she's been my assistant for 8 years. We became best friends. Then I got a call from her, cause she lives in Florida, and she's like, hey bestie, I don't know. Like, I, you know, I don't see you every day, but you're looking like depleted and something's up. Maybe you should like address it. I was furious. I'm like, you two are in cahoots. It's like what you think of as an intervention. Yeah. I was like, how dare you both? You don't know what's good for me. You don't, you know, total denial, complete denial. And actually a lot of this was publicly aired out, you know, cause I went live saying I'm going to rehab, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe on my platform I'm sharing all this. But like I went, and it wasn't, it just, because it was grim. It was because I had to. And so burning it all to the ground might've been like, I lost my life. And I'm not being dramatic. It can be that serious, the slippery slope, like I said. So when I went, I was like, what have I done? How did I get in this spot? what are all the things I have to do to address like how I got here? And what I realized is like if it wasn't that moment of Xanax, it was like binge drinking in my 20s because I didn't want to deal with shit. And I just stuffed it down and I literally said this thing more times than I can count. I would say like, well, if trauma is in there for a reason, it's stuffed down. It's good to be in there for a reason. Like, I'm not going to dredge shit up. Why bring up stuff from your past? I was so emotionally unintelligent. I was like, yeah, I don't want to feel it. If I don't feel it, it's good, right? And so, but what I found is like in my 20s, the binge drinking, and then like a little run with pills when I was in a like abusive relationship. And I'm like, whoa, I've had these patterns since 14 years old. It wasn't this isolated incident. It was like anything to get me outside of myself and not feel. So then I'm like, life has changed. The way I think has changed. Stuff I had to deal with, because it does come up.
It
It's you
does
can
come up. It
say
just comes up in a different way.
100%. Like it comes up in real, you know, in relationships, fear, like acting out of fear, and like just, I mean, I don't even want to go there because it's endless in the ways that it can come up. But yeah, so that was like the turning point and like I said, I'm glad it all happened. It had to get pretty dark, but like I said, I didn't have a choice. It wasn't like, oh, let me wash my hands and walk away. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, I think like learning, because I was the same way. Mine started, I think I started smoking weed in like 7th grade. I think that's when it kind of, started. And then I was just, high school was just, I had a
Yeah.
lot of
Yeah,
fun.
exactly.
And it wasn't until like 25 is when I started going, wait, there's like some fucked up things that I'm not thinking about. And I started getting really angry. Anger
Me
was
too.
my go-to.
Me too.
And it's fascinating because I don't really know when, for me, the shift was like, actually, I think that I need to heal. Like healing, that word was like, what? I
Yeah.
didn't, you know what I mean? Like nobody like locked me in a basement. I don't have trauma. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't until I actually went to Love Retreat. We thought it was a business retreat. We did not know it was a
You
healing retreat.
did?
Yes. So
Oh.
it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I had kind of started reading like self-help books and you know what I mean? Like you consume the information and it starts to make you feel better, but you're not actually doing anything about it, right? Like you feel like you're doing something without actually taking the actions. And what I find is the actions are so fucking simple. The actions are healthy food, health, movement, like letting go of toxic TV and scrolling and blah blah blah, and like it and then it's like crying and like bringing stuff up. You know what I mean? Like it's simple, but it's difficult.
When you said simple and you were talking about all the different things, and I know because we both had an experience at Love Retreat, the thing that blew my mind was your breath. Just your breath. Like that is the biggest tool ever. I've had the most profound experiences doing breath work and like somatic processing. Like it comes out just through breath. I'm like, I've obviously had breath my entire life or I wouldn't be alive. But just knowing how to use it and like its power, I'm like, and now. Okay, so when I first got out of the place, I had like serious anxiety. You're coming off an anxiety medication, you're gonna have way worse anxiety than you ever started. And I was like, how am I gonna make it in the world? How am I gonna even go to the grocery store and like talk to people? Because I'm like a chihuahua. How? And then when I started getting really into breath work, like you can regulate any emotion in a few minutes, sometimes seconds. And I'm like, wow. And I don't have any anxiety now to like write home about. I wouldn't call it that. You know, like maybe if I'm riding on a freeway and a car gets over, I'm like, ugh. I'm like, that's anxiety that's normal. That's not
That's
your
safety.
exact like keeping yourself alive. But like I was trying to keep, I'm using air quotes to the listeners. I was trying to keep myself alive in just everyday situations because my nervous system was so fucked from years of like being in a survival mode. And so you're wound up 24/7. I'm like, I don't have to survive going to the grocery store. I don't have to survive showing up online authentically. I don't have to survive because, you know, my pay was less than I thought and I'm gonna, you know, everything's gonna go to shit. Like I was in survival mode 24/7. And so, yeah, learning about my breath and being able to regulate it in that moment, like night and day different. And like you said, eating well, drinking water, all the things I didn't do. And I'm like, why do I
Oh,
feel like caca?
I didn't start drinking water until I was like 29.
You want to know the funny thing? I started this. Oh, we can go into this too. I'm like so geeking out on these certain like 369 journaling methods to do stuff. But the first one, like I did a 30-day challenge to myself at Sarai's first retreat. And I'm like, you know what? This is when I'm gonna do it. And I don't know what about the second retreat. I'm like, I'm gonna quit vaping. And it was, they both stuck. And it was, I don't know if it's just being in that energy or just it just so happened to be that time. But that was only 2 years ago. So that's how much I didn't drink water and for how long I didn't value just drinking water. So it's
Yes.
recent. It's definitely recent.
Same. And now it's all I drink. Like, besides, I do like coffee. So it's like water and coffee, or yeah, like, same.
Look at us go. Look at us go. And I even cut out caffeine. I'm like, what kind of mad woman am I? I went from like, smoking. I didn't really smoke crack. That's not a funny joke. But I went from doing bad stuff. My sense of humor is messed
I mean,
up.
I'm laughing. It's fine.
Okay, good. But I went from being incredibly unhealthy, doing a bunch of naughty stuff, to like, caffeine makes me feel whatever. And let me drink my water. I'm like, who even is she? Who even is she? It's crazy to me.
So I never drank water. I like lived off of fast food. I didn't work out, all of the things. And then after I got married in my late 20s, your body starts shifting. And I was like, I think I need to work out. And that was like a catalyst for the healthier lifestyle for me, was just kind of like, oh, I felt like crap pretty much most of my life, and I can actually feel better. I didn't know that I could do that. And like, once you feel good, it's really hard to feel like crap again.
You don't want to, because if you start to, incorporate your bad habits again or like eating super shitty food, you're like, I feel it. I'm very in tune, to the way I feel now. And I'm sure you're the same because you're like on this health kick, or not kick, it's just a new lifestyle. So if you start incorporating the naughty things or the habits or whatever that you're used to, you're like, why would I do this? Why would I make the conscious choice to go back to that lifestyle? I don't know.
Have
It's
you fallen back in any habits, or like in the past, even like something where you kind of just like fell back in some way, whether it's
not
eating healthy or not, no movement or any, like.
well, the newest thing, I would say the newest thing was the movement thing. And when I talked about the 369 journal method, that's just
Yeah,
like,
what is that?
okay, so it is Nikola Tesla, you know who he is, right? So he had a theory that certain frequencies or patterns come up in nature over and over and over, like sacred geometry, and just, so it goes a little deep, and that's the original concept. But there's this journal that gets you, it prompts you to write whatever it is that you're trying to incorporate, do, cut out, whatever, just a certain affirmation. And you write it 3 times in the morning, 6 times in the afternoon, 9 times at night, and it starts to really sink into your psyche. So I started doing this, and it, what has it helped me do? Okay, so it helped me. I had been a smoker or a vapor since 14 years old. And I mean, I didn't take any breaks. I think I quit one time for a month. And I just knew it's because I'm getting older and I think it's dumb to be vaping. Like I did it. I hardcore did it, but I felt stupid doing it. And I knew it was unhealthy and I could feel the tightness in my chest. I'm like, oh, I gotta give this up just because I'm old or just because this is dumb. But it didn't stick. So for a month, I quit. But that's it from 14 to just recently. So then I started this journaling method and it's really tapping into like, why do you do it? What are your triggers? And so I wrote down in those like 369. I am no longer a smoker or vapor. And I mean, it was 3 times, 6 times, 9 times without fail for 30 days. And so it's stuck. I haven't cheated. I haven't deviated, whatever. And it's been 6 months. So I did it first for that. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is a mindset shift. This is the first time I've ever had success quitting this thing. So I'm like, well, what else can I do after I let that settle? I wasn't like, on to the next, on to the next. I was like, let's see. This feels good. I feel very empowered. So then I had never been a super active girly. I'm like, I'd go through stints of it and like get on a yoga kick. And I've been practicing yoga for like 4 or 5 years, but never any cardio. Never. I would say, like, you'd better not chase me because I'm not going to run. I'm going to have to kill you or you're going to kill me. I'm like, I'm not a runner, right? So limiting self-beliefs. So then I did that for the 30 days. And now I shit you not, Misty, if I don't walk or something, I feel icky, and that has never been the person that I was in the past. I'm like, I could sit sedentary for hours and hours and binge watch shit and days and just be like, this is my comfy spot. No, like I feel differently now because I did it for that 30 days. And then I'm trying to think. And then the eating thing, I haven't fully
The
like
hardest for me.
it's hard. So when you
So
ask me
hard.
if I slipped back on anything recently, like I was doing so good, especially, in Thailand because it was like a curated vegetarian thing. I'm like, look how easy it is when they cook for you, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I came home and then I was just like, how should I put it? Like, I'm trying to be really intentional with my actions and words and why I do things. I just was being self-destructive. I'm like, I want to eat all the snacks. In my mind, I was telling myself it was a treat, but that's so self-sabotaging. If I ate so well for this long, and it was even prior to Thailand, so it was like maybe a month and a half of eating really well and intentionally not like snacking and stuff like that. But I was just like, fuck it. I got a case of the fuck it's, and I wanted to like eat three string cheeses and however many chips I could fit into my tummy at that point. And I'm on the cusp of being out of that right now. I just went through my cabinets and got rid of all the shitty shit. Like we bought stuff for s'mores to go to Yosemite and whatever. But the thing is I'm not like going to, it's not like a, I'm like trying to make sure it's not super unhealthy and like limiting myself. Like if I want a sweet, I'll eat a bite of a sweet. But I was
Right.
like going ham. I was like all the
Whole
things.
bag.
Yeah, exactly. And
Yeah.
I had weight loss surgery, so to eat a whole bag of anything is a kind of a challenge. But like when I get a case of the fuck it's, I'll do it. If I'm
Yeah.
hung, if I'm full or whatever, I will m find a way. When there's a will, there's a way. And even overeating for me is there's a
Yeah.
will, there's a way.
Well,
I don't
there's
know.
something interesting about the treat thing, right? This comes up a lot with the money thing, and for me, well, I deserve it. I worked hard. I'm going to treat myself. You know what I mean? But I wish people would think about having healthier relationships with food, spending, exercise as treating yourself. Because sure, you're going to like feel good about it for like a second, but like, are you going to feel good about it next week? Are you, I heard something recently that's like every decision you make, ask yourself, am I going to be proud of myself for this decision? And that's really stuck with me because it's like, now you look at anything, food, anything. Am I going to be proud of myself for eating this entire bag of Hershey Kisses? Probably not. Am I going to be proud of myself for eating one or two because they're delicious? Yeah. And walking away, you know? So, yeah, it's super interesting when we kind of like self-care, right? Like we look at self-care differently because self-care, self-care sucks sometimes. Like,
Sometimes, yeah.
you know,
Like
it's like,
the mental self-care, especially, and like analyzing your actions and your behaviors and your triggers. Like sometimes I'm like, do I fucking have to analyze everything? And sometimes I get burnout on self-care in that way. But it's so cool what you said, and I'm so in this school of thought. Like just dig a little bit deeper. Like you said, like the treat or the splurging, I'm like instant dopamine, sure, but in the long run, and then it could become a pattern of like, oh, well, I did this, felt good for a second, then it felt bad, but then I'm gonna do it again, and it feels good, and it feels bad. It confuses you. So I've really tried to ask why a lot more, like why, and be truthful with myself, because it's so easy to lie to yourself. It so is, like the stories we tell ourselves. But I'm like, really kind of stop and ask, like, why are you doing this? What's the outcome gonna be? Just take a minute with yourself instead of just like going through all the, I don't even know what they are. A lot of the stuff is just triggers from like past behaviors and shit that happened.
and a lot of it is just subconscious, you know? Like I was always a chocolate after dinner person. Like, so I didn't even think twice about grabbing something, you know? And it's interesting when you do start to pay attention because you're like, why do I do this? You know, like why am I even doing? Like I literally so recently I've had a weird relationship with alcohol recently where it just wasn't making me feel good. So, I like la this past fall, I was like, I'm just gonna like go 3 weeks. Like I gave myself like a time. I said, I'm not gonna drink at all. No matter what comes up, if I go out with my friends, whatever. And what I found is that out of habit, like me and some girlfriends were riding our bikes to the beach. Out of habit, I went into my refrigerator and put beers in my cooler. And I literally stopped and went, what am I doing? And I put them back. And like, but it was just such a habit of like, well, I've always done this. We're going to the beach. Of course, I'm going to have a drink when I don't even want a drink. You know what I mean? And it's like fascinating when we start to look at everything we do, everything, like the tiniest little thing, like picking up your phone in the morning, you know, like we do it so subconsciously, which that's my That's my vice right now is I literally have an addiction to my phone and I do not know how to stop it. And it's very frustrating. but it's it once we start, like you said, asking the questions, you know, like, why did I do that? You know, and not beating ourselves up for doing it, you know, because that is so like you can shame yourself to death, you know, but like, okay, I picked up my phone this morning when I said last night I wasn't going to, instead of being like, fuck it, I just might as well scroll it. Like it's stopping and going, wait. It's okay. Tomorrow is going to be different. I'm going to put it in a different spot. I'm going to make the environment different to make it easier for me not to do my habit.
I had to do that too. I mean, I knew already that's like, that's a way and that's a method to not mindlessly scroll and like late at night or early in the morning. So, but I did Sarai's masterclass for New Year's and it was just a reminder. I'm like, oh yeah, I can, because there's so many modalities and I know, you know, from like self-work and self-improvement, you forget which one worked before and you forget which, you know, what tip or trick you heard wherever. And that was a reminder to me. I'm like, oh, I can save me from myself till I make better choices and make this be conscious. So I put my phone in like my bathroom near where my closet is, not near the bed. And I'm like, what a world of difference. Like I don't fuck with it for an hour after I wake up and couple hours before I go to sleep. And like when I'm trying to think if I had a little slip up with that. I don't know. I've been pretty good with it. You know what really checked me though, is I did a digital detox in Thailand.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Hard reset. That was a hard reset.
And tell the listeners what that was and what that looked like.
So I went to a retreat in Thailand. It was a yoga and wellness retreat. And at the retreat facility, they strongly suggested that you don't use your phone during your stay there. So my entire stay there was 6 days. I know I can do anything like you can and the listeners can. You can do whatever, anything you want if you have your mindset on it. But I was like, I'm going to give myself, because I have a lot of anxiety going into that. I'll tell you why in a second, but I'm like, I'm going to give myself 3 solid days of just not, I mean, I locked my phone in a safe. I let everybody know beforehand. I'm like, I'm not going to be interacting. I'm locking in a safe. But why I did 3 days and not the full 6 is I rented scooters. And at that point, I just felt like it would be irresponsible and unsafe to ride a scooter through the streets of Thailand without some way to, you know, stay in touch. So then I didn't lie to myself and say like, oh, all I can do is 3 days. I'm like, I want to have a great experience here. So I'm going to be flexible and try the 3 days out versus the 6. But I didn't realize how difficult that would be at first. It was first, not when it started happening. I'm like, this is actually pretty easy. But leading into it, this is my main thought. I want to take so much video and content for my coaching business or just memories. Like I want to. And I started lying to myself, like, I need to. And, you know, I still wrestle with that because I don't think there's anything wrong with just setting up your phone, getting B-roll, getting amazing shots, especially if you're somewhere out of town and it helps your business or whatever. But I'm like, I already negotiated that I have 3 other days to do that. So let me be present, lock my phone up. But the biggest takeaway I would say is that it gave me a new appreciation and gratitude for my phone and made me look at it as a tool instead of a hindrance. I was like, I use it to jot down notes. I use it to obviously call and text people, to get video, to take pictures, for GPS, like all these kind of basic things that your phone is, instead of just like, fuck, I am a prisoner to social media and all I do is mindlessly. That was the least part of it that messed with me. It was just, what an amazing tool. What an amazing resource that we all take for granted. So then it made me have like a better appreciation for it and then use it for those little things, those mundane things, and to be like, ooh, this is awesome, and not be like, ooh, I hate you, I want to throw you out the window, all I do is scroll and blah blah blah. So it's interesting, and you don't have to go to Thailand to do that. You can do that right now, tomorrow. Let everybody know, like, hey, I'm taking a weekend or a long weekend off, and just, you know, it's a hard reset is what I call it.
Yeah, my husband and I had a conversation while you were there because I, you know, I follow all your stories, of course. And I was like, oh, I think I want to like do something. Like I said, our next trip, like, I think we should like put the phone in the glove box or something and just like, but I'm the same, right? Like if I have a kid, you know, so I, that like for me being by myself with no phone would be hard for me because I feel like if something happens or if he wants to see me or whatever. But if it's the three of us and I put my phone away, that would be amazing. You know what I mean? And it's like, but then I go to the same place you do. Like, well, do I need content? Do I want to capture memories? Do I want to blah, 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 you know? So it's interesting how we can justify anything, literally anything.
Anything. And then we begin lying to ourselves and we've made this narrative and these stories that it is gospel. It is, there's no deviating from the story that you tell yourself if you're dug in and you're committed to it. But then if you just take a minute and like kind of zoom out and you're like, that's not true. Like I really can be okay without my phone for a couple of days. And I don't know. It was interesting. It was an interesting experiment.
This whole conversation, I keep thinking of every time I'm talking with a client or anyone in general that wants to change something in their lives, right? And I always kind of go to, well, you have to start taking the actions that the person that you want to be, you know, takes or saying, you know, I am that person or whatever. And I always get hit with the, well, but I don't really believe it. So it feels like I'm lying to myself. Let's talk about this a little bit, because I know for me with my money journey, I felt very similar, right? Like, I don't know why that's happening. I'm sorry, listeners, but apparently my hands are making fireworks happen on my Zoom video.
Wow.
I've never happened before.
I wish everybody could see that.
I know. I felt the same way and I still struggle with this. It's still sometimes like I journal every morning and I try to write down the things that I desire in a way that they're like already mine. And it doesn't always feel that way. Do you struggle with this? If you don't, how do you not struggle with it? Like what would you say to me in those moments of like, you know, because I saw something recently that I've been replaying back in my head that's, well, you're lying to yourself anyway. You might as well make it positive, you know, like because we lie about in our minds about all the stories that we tell ourselves that we can't do this or we can't do that or we're not capable or we're not worthy enough or people won't like us, whatever, you know, so it's like we're doing it anyway. Like we might as well make it positive. But like, do you have any insight on this? Or I'm sure this is something that comes up in your coaching as well. Or for you?
Both. I mean, I think it first had to come up with me and be something I struggle with and I try to overcome and I have and then struggle and overcome. I feel like it's, you know, a cyclical thing, but I don't think I could be an effective coach if I didn't experience it myself first. So me, yes, first. Yep. And then yes, it also comes up with like, nah, everybody. Let's just say everybody. There's not one person, especially if they're reaching out to a coach, that doesn't struggle with like their internal dialogue and imposter syndrome and defeatist mentality and all that. Mm-hmm. The things that have helped me, do you know who Mel Robbins is? I'm sure you
do. Oh yeah. Yes, I do.
Have you read High Five Habit?
No, I haven't read any of her books.
This is just a concept, you know, and I know this is just, I'm going to mention her because this is when I really started putting this into practice, but you can tell as soon as I say it, like people have been suggesting to do this for a long time. But the high five habit is basically you're looking at yourself in the mirror every morning and you're literally high-fiving yourself. But I took it a step further and I'll have a full conversation and sometimes I feel like a psycho and I'm like, I really hope Chris doesn't walk in, but I'll just, you know, like it becomes the habit. And I think that's what the point is like you talk to yourself kindly and like gas yourself up and say all these good things, because if you don't get it out and like make that connection and try to be more positive with the affirmations, then what's going on in your head is most of the time not great, you know, especially if you're in like a struggle moment. It's like, well, why do this anyway? I'm just, you know, like it's gonna be shitty. I've got evidence in the past that it was shitty, you know, and that might not even be true. The evidence might be that you're resilient and you've gotten through shitty things again and you'll get through them in the future. But if the loop is telling you like, oh, all this shitty shit happens to me, you know, what's the point? I'm crap. This is crap. It goes from, you know, the little chirp to devastating. It can in a short amount of time if you don't catch it. So if you do these things that you can implement implement like on a daily basis and they become habits, then that's good. Like all that positive self-talk, definitely affirmations that you read every day. But I'm not super woo and fluffy with that shit either. Like there's one part that and retrain the way you talk to yourself. And like you said, you already mentioned it, one part action. So like taking contrary action, like if you're in your head, you're like, oh, comparison game, or I'm not good enough to show up online, or whatever the case is, however you need to show up, you just do it anyway. I don't give a damn. Do it anyway. The contrary action is like stopping the voice from telling you that you're lacking in some way. And then that's like a muscle. And then the more you do something anyway and take contrary action besides the voice that's going on in your head, the better off you'll be. So one part, gassing yourself up and talking to yourself sweet. And the other part, get your fucking ass in gear and show up and do the thing. So it's like a nice little dance between affirmations and action.
Well, and you're never going to feel confident in that new space you want to be in if you're not taking the action. Because
Yeah,
I can
totally.
say all day long that, I want to do something. I could sit on my couch and say it and say it and say it until I'm blue in the face, but nothing is actually going to happen if I don't start doing it. I always use exercise as an example, because the first time you walk in the gym, you don't want to go. Nobody wants to really go, I don't think. Maybe some people. And it's like, and you're like, I'm not somebody who works out. And then you go and you start moving a little bit. And then you go the next day and you start moving a little more. And you know what I mean? And then one day you wake up and you're somebody that works out.
Exactly.
The action is so important. And I struggle nowadays because I see a lot of people buying the courses, reading the books, getting the information, but not actually taking the action. And it's like, but you have to. It's like if the action doesn't happen fast enough, they just don't want to do it anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, but it's the tiny, tiny, tiny little things you do every day. The
Yeah.
tiniest things, the littlest little, I didn't pick up my phone for 1 hour before, when I woke up this morning. That tiny little thing is like a huge deal in the long run. And I think people discount it like way too much, way too
It's
much.
a really huge deal. Like that small action, like you said, compounds, especially when you pair that with consistency. So like you did that today and you do that tomorrow and you do that. In my head, like I'm sure I heard this from some neuroscience scientist somewhere. I know habits like can take longer, or they can, like the sweet spot's 30 days. For me, I give myself that goal to be consistent without fail. Like, yeah, I do the florally woo stuff to back it up, the affirmations paired with the action and consistency. And once you do it long enough, then it just becomes your operating system. That's how I feel, especially with the working out thing. Like that was, I don't even want to say that was hard. That was just like really enlightening because I did it when I would tell myself the story, like, I don't want to like work out while I'm traveling for a show or something. I don't want to work out when I have to wake up like a 8 o'clock call time or 7 a.m. call time. I'm like, wait a second. People wake up early as shit to work out all the time. They're doing it. And just because I'm out of town doesn't mean I can't do it. So I committed no matter what was going on. No, I mean, rain, snow, being in Montreal for work, whatever. I committed for 30 days and it was hell or high water. And by the end of it, you feel very empowered. You're like, in the past or in general, all these stories trying to self-sabotage, like you did and you would have given up, but like not this time. And so once you get that 30 days in, then it's like we talked about, like it becomes just like a habit at that point. I don't know. That's the sweet spot for me. It takes some people longer, some people shorter, but I feel like if you can commit to it and keep showing up for yourself every day for that amount of time, it becomes a thing.
You got to learn how to make yourself proud.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we were taught, but a lot of people were taught that like you're not supposed to be proud of yourself, right? Like you're supposed to make other people or the outside of yourself proud. And like with, again, I have a 9-year-old and that's like the number one thing that we have said to him since he was little. I think I read it in a book somewhere or something. And I'm like, I always ask him, are you proud of yourself? Like I try not to say I'm proud of you because of course I am proud of him in all kinds of ways, but like I want him to realize it's more important for him to be proud of himself than to me be proud of him,
I love that.
And it's hard sometimes, you know what I mean? And it's hard for me to be proud of myself sometimes. I think that's the thing, right? Because we're kind of conditioned that that's, I don't know, like Kanye confidence is a bad thing. That's what I like to call it.
When you come, that's a whole nother ball of wax right now.
Yeah.
I just think it's really cool that as a parent, like you being a parent, and like those things didn't come easy for you to talk to yourself that way or be proud of yourself, that, that you're able to break that pattern and that programming of like how you were brought up. And I get it. I feel like it's a generational thing, like for sure everybody before us, but definitely still our millennial generation. And then you're breaking that and you're teaching your son, like, you know, you're helping him build his own self-esteem, you know,
yeah.
And like do esteemable acts and to feel good about himself and not be searching for that external validation. I think that's freaking awesome.
It's hard.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, the one thing I've learned about parenting is one that they, that especially my son is me, like me, like to a T. It's kind of wild. I didn't expect that. I thought for sure, oh, we're having a boy. Like, it's going to be like my husband. Like, no, he is me in every manner. So I have a constant mirror of myself constantly every single day, which is very difficult. I did not expect to raise myself, but I also look at I have a lot of gratitude for being able to reparent myself literally and seeing it like literally like seeing what I could have had or done or been, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I'm very grateful for it, but it's also really hard.
You know how many times I've heard that? The same thing you just said, it's like reliving it essentially, but also having to parent your child too. And like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine, but what a lesson. And the fact that you're digging into it instead of like running away from it, because man, I'm not going to go down this road too much, but like my mom wasn't willing or able to like break her patterns. And it was just like, man, yeah, it affects you. So the fact that you're like leaning in to the difficulty and doing the shit you need to do, that's amazing. That's like, I can't imagine how hard that is.
Well, it's funny though, but I think I realized that when he would be freaking out about something and then I would get frustrated and then I was like, he's doing what I'm doing, but like 7-year-old version of it. And I'm like, ooh, like, oops. But yeah,
it just blows my mind anyway. I'm like, I'm just trying to maintain my 43-year-old ass. I don't even know what it would be like to.
It's something. It's something. My husband and I got married saying we weren't going to have kids. Like we were like, yep, no kids. And then we kind of like were together for a while. And then we just decided like, hey, let's just try and see what happens. And I am not shitting you. I got pregnant the day we started trying. So it was kind of one of those, well, guess it's meant to be.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, yeah. That's pretty instantaneous.
Yeah. But it's a journey. That's for sure. We will never have another one. I love him to death, but I'm good. One and done. But anyway, I love this conversation. You know, we were going to talk about independent education.
So lame now. I mean, don't get me wrong, but like if given the option, I like going deep and to talk about soulful things and like everything we just talked about, like I geek out on, because I know that it changed my quality of life, my entire life, the way I interact with people, my family, my friends, the people I work with. Like, this shit is powerful. So that's why I like sharing it. And like, even the yucky parts along the way and the dark parts. And like you said, you can't really appreciate the light without having gone through some dark for contrast. So yeah. I'm glad we went there. And thank you for that.
Of course. I have a question for you. What do you think the biggest misconception about this work is? Like for someone who hasn't maybe started, you know, their self-improvement journey or their healing journey, like, and they're just like, that's not for me. Like, what do you think that is? Cause I try to remember back, like when I wasn't doing any of it. And like, I don't really remember what my hang up was besides I'm not woo woo. I used to say that all the time. Well, that's woo woo. The mindset's woo woo. The secret is woo woo. Energy's woo woo. And now I'm like, no, it's not. Like,
no, it's real. I mean, if you don't even want to go the super woo route, it's neuroscience. Like there are patterns. It's science. That's I go in hard with the science part. There's like, and I love the woo part. You know, I love spirituality. I love talking about mindset and manifestation, but all that is backed by science.
Yep.
So like, if you don't respond a whole lot to the mega woo shit, just then you must have the brain that appreciates science. So I would tell somebody that, for one, I read all kinds of books. You see those ones back there? I had those when I was going through the darkness of my crisis. I just hoped by osmosis having those would change me or affect me. And they didn't. And I even read some and I'm like, this isn't clicking. It's really not clicking in a way that after I needed guidance. And one of my big first moments of like, there was some therapy and that was cool and all. But the love retreat, like really processing a lot of trauma and like in a collective like that, like a space like that where other people were having the same experiences and we were doing weird shit, like screaming out into the ocean and like I said, the breath work, and I'm like, this is quite woo, but like it just opened me up as a person. So I would say if someone has a big aversion to it, is get guidance, get help, talk to somebody that's walked the walk before you, because even with therapy is great. I'm not going to knock therapy at all, but there's so many modalities that you can do and you need to do on an everyday basis. Like everyday basis. Like you can't go, yeah, I guess you could, but talking to a therapist every single day,
Being
I
quite
don't,
expensive.
very expensive. And I will tell you, like I go to a traditional talk therapist few and far between. Like I went in deep with EMDR and all this other stuff, like because I needed to. I had to excavate years of trauma, compiled big T, little T, lots of big T's. So I needed that. I needed like the big guns. But like on a day-to-day basis, like my reprieve from falling back into that like dark spot is like you said, you journal, I do breath work, I move around somatically to get the shit out of my body, like the bad energies or whatever. And I know that's sounding a little woo too, but it's
It
all intention.
works.
It works. I
It
mean, the
works.
somatic shit is science backed too. Like
Yeah,
you
I learned
physically
about like hitting your
tapping.
vagus nerve, and like calming down your anxiety, and like, I mean, it works almost immediately. It's insane.
Exactly. So like after that first like guidance and like opening myself up to that world and knowing that like let's explore this a little bit. Then I read the books. Then I needed more books and then it all made sense and it's all connected and obviously I'm feeling the benefits of all the things that I'm doing. I'm like you can't unlearn what you learn in this space. Like you can't go back. You can't forget the massive change that you'll experience. So you just want more is kind of the thing. My biggest struggle, and I don't even want to call this a struggle, it's just something I have to watch because I have a very addictive personality, is I'm just not wanting to get addicted to healing. Like, because sometimes you just have to pump your brakes and be, because that builds resilience and not everything's going to be some profound spiritual experience. Like I will chase the dragon. I'm very much a dragon chaser, like with everything. So sometimes I just have to be mindful of that and just be like, just live. Just live and be and let things marinate. And when you want to go again, you want to go hard when you need something, know yourself enough to know what to tap into when.
I could not agree more. I found this last year, like once I started learning a lot of things and like learning how to ask the right questions and like calming myself down. I really, last year was my big, like, oh my God, this is how I regulate my nervous system. This is amazing. What I found happened is I got bored. Like it was boring. My life felt boring. Like, you know what I mean? There wasn't the drama. There wasn't the hot, the like super lows and the highs and the, you know what I mean? And like the things that excited me before no longer fit what I wanted. And then so the like last half of the year was like being okay with the boring. You know what I mean? And like finding that actually the boring brought more like depth to my life that I enjoyed more. So it's weird because like just 6 months ago, I couldn't just sit by myself. Like and like sit. Like I would listen to a podcast, I'd be reading a book, I'd be watching TV, I'd be on social media, I'd be talking to somebody, whatever. Where now it's like I've set time aside to just be with myself, to just sit with myself. And it is insane how quickly my mind gets creative. Like I will be sitting there and I'll all these thoughts, like almost immediately, that I didn't realize I was numbing with content and other information. And it was this aha moment this past December, actually. Of, like, I have been constantly searching outside of myself for what has always been in myself. And, like,
That.
I mean, this year has just been, it's been different. You know, I've just been craving quiet because of it now. And it's like fascinating to me. So it's onion. It's a, you know, it's the peeling back the layers. You know, the love retreat for me completely broke me open. I was super, super, super like all about some healing for a year. Like, that's all I wanted to do. You know, like you said, you get addicted to it. And then it starts to calm down, and you just start noticing different triggers. And, like, you know, you have the tools to like kind of figure it out But I agree with you. I think I've gotten more big breakthroughs from coaches and retreats than I have from therapy. Therapy to me feels like it feels like maintenance. So like, here's the thing that I need to work on. Here's how I can like talk it out on a daily basis in my normal life. And I find that very interesting.
You know, I'm not knocking therapy, but when you said that just now, I was thinking like, I have better conversations like I'm having with you now and my friends who are also like in this space than I do my therapist. I go back and I think like, man, she just would just fucking listen and then be like, well, what do you think about that? I'm like,
yes, but you can do that on your own now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think therapy, oh, it so serves a place. And I went through lots of it when I needed it most. And if I need it again, I know where to go. Yep. But like, it's just also really important to like spend time with and find people that are like-minded and that are really into this stuff as well. And your friend and your confidant like won't be at this point in my life. I don't have any friends that I just like go into a shit talking spiral with. Like I used to, I'm like, oh, did you hear what so-and-so did? Now I'm like, it ain't like that. Everybody I have in my life now, it's like we're on the same, you know, like trajectory. Yep. And it isn't like the vibe is not low. The vibe is not low. And I, when I sense a low vibration with someone and that like misery loves company or whatever, I love myself enough to be like, no, thanks. You know, Godspeed. I hope you just have the best time doing what you're doing, but like, I don't want to be around it. And I feel like if that's your people, then therapy's cool and all, but like your maintenance is just your homies. It's great.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you say that. I was just having this conversation with a friend this morning about like friends from the past and how like when you're with them, it feels comfortable, you know, and you're having these like lower conversations. But when I get home, it doesn't feel good anymore. But like having a conversation like this, I'm going to be on a high all day, you know, like, so it is true, like paying attention and like, you know, there's some friends I love them to death and I'll still like go have dinner with them from time to time, but like, we're not doing like we used to do. It's like, they're not my go-to. They're not, I don't call them when I'm upset or sad or, you know what I mean? Like, because it just, in a way they unintentionally keep me low, you know, and it's not their fault. It's just the only thing they know, you know? So, there's a grieving process in this too, of like the life and the people that were in your life. And I've found that is kind of one of the hardest sometimes is like, cause I'm to the point now where I just want to like shed everyone that makes me feel crappy. And like, that's hard to do when you have people in your life that are like, I see like they're, you know, like you kind of can't shed them or you feel guilty or whatever. So it is, it's an interesting, it's a journey.
It sure is. I think when you said like the guilt part, like I feel that too with certain people, because what it makes me think, and this is something that I am going to already know, have to explore before I've said it, is that it makes me feel uppity. Like, where do I get off thinking that like I'm on this higher vibration or I'm more evolved than this person? Yep. When I'm telling you, like, as this is coming out, I'm like, I got some shit to unpack, but I'm like, I know that's okay for me to feel that way. But in my head and my stories tell me like, you're being an uppity bitch. Like you don't have the right to be like, you're here, they're there. And it's not like that. It's just the energy that I choose to keep around me. And it's like protecting my peace. And so at the same time, like that's the way I feel uppity, but I know the truth is this other thing. I don't know. But with saying all that about like high vibe people and blah, 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 like I love some lowbrow goofing around inner child, like fuckery. Like I have so many buds. I just will not talk about this shit with, or if it comes up, it comes up. But then 2 seconds later, we're like taping our nose up and putting like M&Ms in our lip to be idiots. Right. Like, it's not like, I just don't want like, I don't know. I mean, that I'm going to sound like woo again, but it's just very low vibrational ways. And I don't want that no more.
Well, I think there's a difference in joy and things that like are funny. Like humor is like my favorite thing in the world. Like I love to laugh. Like I love it, but there's a difference in that. And then like drama or like an unhealthy judgment. Do not get me wrong. There's certain judgments that are like my favorite thing to laugh about with my husband.
I'm bad still. That's one of my top priorities to work on is judgment, which I think it's all tied together.
But I'm scared it will take away my humor. So I'm like,
I get it. And oh man, I'm telling you, when we had like intentions that we had to like call or whatever, when I was in Thailand, I'm like, why am I so judgy? And I don't do it outwardly, and I'm not talking mess, but I think what it is after I did like a week of exploring is I hold myself to a high standard and I judge myself and I'm critical of myself. So because that's what's up, I tend to do that with other people, but at my core, I'm not really judging people. Like, I love everybody. I'm accepting, but I'll be like, why are they doing? I like try to take someone's inventory. I'm like, well, I bet you they're doing that because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, none of my business. But it's because I do it to myself so much. So definitely, yeah, I'm not up on my freaking hill here with all this work that I've done. I've got mad shit to still work on. And I recognize that. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
The hardest part is to focus on just you, right? I think my toxic trait, and I don't know if it's really toxic, but is like I see the potential in people that they don't see in themselves. So I think that they're going to do the things and they're going to do the work. And then when they don't, I disappoint. They disappoint me. You know what I mean? And I need to stop doing that because that's their journey. That is not my journey, you know?
You're so similar. Like you say,
We
we're
are
not.
every time we talk. And now I'm remembering conversations from Utah too.
Yeah,
And I'm like, yeah, we are.
exactly. That's why I was like, how dare you saying we're not, we'd have already connected. But yeah, it's such a thing. And the thing that I took away from that being my intention to like, don't be so judgmental, don't hold people to these unrealistic expectations or this kind of stuff was that stop assigning judgment to everything. Stop assigning judgment to your thoughts, expectations. Like things can be neutral. Like people's behaviors can be neutral, especially when they don't affect you. Like you don't have to assign a value to everything. And that was my takeaway. So that's like in my head, I've written it down. I was journaling because I didn't have a phone. So everything was written down. But like I see that line in my journal, like what I just said to you. And I try to visualize that when I get to be in my head in that way. And it's again, I'm not like saying you should or you're this. It's just internal, and I don't like that about myself.
I put everything in a box. I've always felt like I never fit in a box. Like I was never like the popular girl or the like I always like am friends with everybody, but that always made me feel lonely. And that's something I had a realization actually in the shower this week of like, why do I do that? There is no boxes. Like, you know what I mean? There's no like why? Why do I think everything has to have a title or everything has to be this or that? Like it can just be. And that's still tough. I still kind of like need to get out of that. But you know, next layer.
Yep, exactly. And I don't know about you, but because of all the progress that's been made, and I know like there's potential to like grow more and evolve more, I don't get as like frustrated about when I see traits come up in myself where I'm like, oh, like you haven't gotten here yet, or this keeps coming up, or I get excited. I'm like, okay, well, we'll get to that when I have the space to get to that, but I know it can be got to because I've
I'm
already.
like, what retreat can I go on to get through this? It's like,
Yeah, I know, right?
what trip can I book and make this go away?
I feel that. And then I have to be like, am I, why the hell does my light keep going off? I wish I had some fireworks to keep me lit
Don't
up.
know. I want to make it happen again.
Jazz hands. Yeah, I feel that with their treats. But then I think about like, I'm gonna go on a trip anyway. I love traveling. Might as well like find a retreat that's like fun and about wellness and like to fill your cup up at the same time of going on a great trip. And then sometimes there's trips where I don't want to heal and grow. I want to go on a trip. It's just about figuring out what you need in that moment, I guess.
I love that. Okay, so we did talk before we got on here about how long this could go. I feel like we could go 3 hours, and I'm not going to do that today. But
I
I'm
can
going
do
to
it for
invite you
clients.
back
Okay.
whenever you want. If there's anything ever, 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 ever that you want to talk about, you let me. You just say, Missy, I have an idea. Let's talk about it. You tell me, and we'll record it because. This is the shit that I love. I love this. These are the conversations I think that people need to hear, which could be part of my toxic trait.
What's toxic about that? You want to
No.
share cool stuff with people, and I agree, people do need to hear this, and only because I needed it, and I think other people need it. So it's not like I'm like, you should. I'm like, it works. It feels good. Let's talk about it. And I'd love to come back. And also, I think your viewers, your listeners are going to know this before we've officially announced it, but that's okay. But Soraya and I have one, so we'd love to have you on as a guest, and I'm sure that would just be a laugh riot. I don't
Oh,
know what.
absolutely. I think Sarai was another one that we did like an almost like hour and a half, I think.
You see
She's,
that?
yeah. So, okay. So that actually, I'm glad you said that. Please plug all your things. Like, where can people find you? Where can people, what's the podcast called? What do you have coming up? I know you do one-on-one coaching. Like, I want you to just like talk Kanye confidence yourself right now.
What show is that where they're like at the end, like, look at that camera, that camera, that camera, and tell us what you have going on? I think it was
Yes.
Hot Ones, that chicken wing show.
Oh yeah.
Which camera do I look in? Okay. All right. So yes, I do one-on-one coaching. I absolutely love being able to go deep with a person on an individual level. I like the 8 week container myself because you can really dig in. You know, there's 4 weeks, but I'm like, what do we even do in like 4 weeks?
You just skim the surface.
Exactly. And then I find that people, anyway, if they get the 4 weeks, they're like, I want more. I need more. And so it's a better deal to get 8 weeks anyway. So you can find out all of my coaching offerings on RebeccaTaylorHair.com. What else? I do have a course that I'm launching about independent education. So maybe you'll have me back on talking about that. But it's a really, really cool, well, I don't know what all you call all the digital products now, but it's more or less a master class. So if it's somebody interested in building your personal brand, or you're interested in education and you want to do it independently without the affiliation of a manufacturer, I'll tell you how I did it. Been at it for a very long time. So there's that course that's going to be launched. What else? My Instagram is RebeccaTaylorHair.com. Pretty much across the board, everything's RebeccaTaylorHair.com.
And
And
I'll put
Misty.
all this in the show notes as well.
Perfect. And then Misty and I were talking about this beforehand, but because we love a retreat, like I've had a boner for like creating my own retreat for a long time now, and it's happening. It's going to be in 2025. So more information on that soon. It's going to be in Thailand because it's like my favorite place on the planet, and it's a full experience. And I already know, like, I know what I love. So I'm going to curate that for other people because I can't be alone in this. I know you'll love it too. So that's about it. And then also my friend Jay Ladner and I have a US tour, a 6-city tour for hands-on education. All this shit's on my page. All the links are in my bio. Thanks. That was Kanye energy there, I guess.
I
I
like
don't
it.
hate him. I don't even like him, so I don't want to say I'm like he's off the deep end lately.
He's bipolar. I mean, he talks openly about that, and he won't take his medicine because it messes with his genius.
Oh, okay. I
Yeah.
just didn't like the anti-Semitism.
Oh yeah, no, he ruined it. He screwed himself on that. But I will say, I have a love-hate relationship for with Kanye.
I
But
like his music, but when he went off the rails with the racist stuff, I was
Oh
like,
yeah.
homie, I don't know. You got to get it together.
Well, somebody needs to rein him in. But there's a lot of people I think need to be reined in that are public. So anyway.
We could keep talking, but
Yeah,
thank
I
you
was gonna
so much
say.
for having me on here. It was a perfect morning for me.
Thank you for coming on and chatting. And like I said, literally anything you want to talk about, you let me know and we'll do it again.
Vice versa, and I'm down.
Awesome. Thank
You're
you.
welcome. Bye, Misty.
Once again, thank you for listening to the Cash Confident Stylist podcast. I appreciate each and every one of my listeners more than you know. If you like what you hear, please screenshot this episode, share it with a friend, share it on social media, and don't forget to tag me, Misty Jane, and the podcast at Cash Confident Stylist Podcast. You can even take it a step further and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Talk with you on the next one.